Young people, adults, one of the biggest problems in evangelical Christianity today is that you blend in, you fit in at your schools, you fit in at your neighborhoods, you fit in your families, you fit in at your cities, and matter of fact, you fit just right in to Sevierville and to Pigeon Forge as well. You fit in. You're just like everybody else. You go do your conferences, you come for your 2 or 3 days, and what changes in your life? Just talked to a gentleman that works here, and I asked him a very specific question. How long have you been working here? He said, 2 or 3 years. I said, in 2 or 3 years you've been working here, how many times has someone from one of these Christian conferences ever taken the time to share with you about who Jesus Christ is? What was his answer? What was his answer? He said, maybe one, maybe two. Does that soul not matter to you, young people and adults? Does the soul of that man not matter to you? Does the soul of that waitress I chatted with the other day, who told me she's been a waitress for 10 years, and she can count on one hand the number of people that have ever shared Jesus Christ with her, does that waiter matter to you, youth pastors here? When I was at a youth pastors conference recently, and this waiter had been serving youth pastors for 3 straight days at this restaurant, right next to the facility, and I witnessed him, and then I asked him at the end, how many of these youth pastors have ever taken the time to share with you what it takes to go to heaven when you die? And the gentleman looked at me and said, in all my years of being a waiter, no one has ever taken the time that you just took to tell me what it takes to be right with God and right with Jesus Christ when I die. Young people, one of the problems today, adults, one of the problems is we're not stirring things up for Jesus Christ. We're not stirring things up and causing trouble in the cities we go to. When you read your Bible and you read the book of Acts chapter 17, it says, who are these people that are turning this world upside down? It's Christians who are supposed to be causing the trouble in our cities, in our schools. Yes or no? Young people and adults, I'm not very convinced yet. Yes or no? It's our job to do that. It's our job to be zealous. But yet when you look at America today, it's Satan causing the trouble in our cities today. It's Satan causing the trouble in our schools today. But guess what? Today's a new day. Today's a new day. That can change, can it not? Yes or no? I'm going to speak to you a few times during the session, okay? So I used to be a school teacher, so even though there's 1,500 of you, I expect you to speak back at me as well, okay? We can change things today, can we not? Yes or no? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. I'm going to tell a story in the talk today in just a second. I'm a born-again Christian today because I got a college basketball scholarship to Auburn University to play basketball. And when I was there to play basketball, yeah, and the day you die, you'll never say War Eagle. The day you die, by the way. And you Alabama fans will never say Roll Tide one single time when you take your last breath. And if Nick Saban doesn't get born again, he has absolutely wasted his life. Yes or no? If Gene Chizik isn't born again, if Lane Kiffin isn't born again, absolutely wasted their lives. I just spoke at the University of Georgia the other day, had 100 athletes at this conference I did up at the University of Georgia, FCA athletes in action and stuff. But the funny thing about their football coach, Mark Richt, he is well known for his love of Jesus Christ. He has stopped practice before and shared Jesus Christ with the entire team during practices before. Might get you in trouble some places, but you know what? When you stand in front of God, it won't cause you no trouble on that day. Won't cause you no trouble on that day. But I went to Auburn, and 4 young men were waiting on me. 2 football players, little tiny manager on the basketball team, and 1 guy from FCA, and they told me the gospel of Jesus Christ. They gave me a Bible. I never owned a Bible before. Started reading, started studying. At 25, I got born again and saved. And here we are today because 4 people were stirring things up in this man's life. They weren't blending in like most of us, but just like that young lady said on the video, our job is not to blend in. Our job is to stand out, salt and light, let the light shine. Folks, it's about to get really dark down here. That's okay. It's easier for your light to shine. It's all in how you look at it. Okay, but I'm talking about bold men, bold women of God. And the book of Acts says God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're 15 or 50. It's a non-issue to God. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll stand up for him, he will use you in mighty ways like you cannot even imagine. That's what we're going to talk about today. The title of this talk is called, Who Do You Say That I Am? The same question Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Because if you can't answer that question, you cannot stir things up like God wants to use you at your schools, in your neighborhoods, in your families, okay? That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to know who Jesus is before we walk out of here. Then we're going to start making a radical stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming days. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Love coming to these conferences that Scott's put on, Father God, but I thank you so much for just a neat audience here, Father God. And you know I have a heart for young people. Because, Father, I made it through 4 years of high school in Atlanta, Georgia, without ever hearing the gospel one single time. Born again, evangelical Christian on my basketball team, never took the time to share the gospel with me. Even after I had that head-on car accident, almost died in a car accident. Father, wake us up. Wake us up. Just stir things up everywhere we go, Father. We're light, we're salt. We have the only hope for America. That your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But who Jesus Christ is very, very important. And we need to know that before we walk out here today. Father, we thank you for it. We do. We ask it in the great name of your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, grab your Bibles. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 16, okay? Pull your Bibles out. Keep them on your lap. I'm going to go through probably five or six verses for you this morning. New Testament, go to Matthew chapter 16. If you don't have your Bible with you and you're taking notes, go ahead and write the verses down and then you can look them back up back at the hotel or back with your youth group and do that, okay? Go to Matthew 16 and go to verse 13. Matthew verse 16 and verse 13. And watch what it says. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others say Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, it's not who your parents say Jesus Christ is. It's not who your youth pastor says who's Jesus Christ. The question is, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? The last weekend of the Major League Baseball season, I got to do a chapel service for the Milwaukee Brewers and the Philadelphia Phillies. And a year ago, the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series. So when I was doing the chapel service for the Phillies that morning up in Milwaukee, all their great players were there. Shane Victorino, Jimmy Rollins was there, Davey Lopes, their coach, the great player from back in the day. And I looked at these men. Is this sound okay? Is this too loud? Is it too? It seemed like it just picked up on me real quick. Okay. And I looked at the men and I said to these guys, I said, 100 years from now. And I just stopped. And I wanted them to think 100 years into the future. And I looked at those men and I said, 100 years from now, I said, it won't matter if you win back-to-back World Series titles. What's their whole focus at the end of the season is to do what? Win back-to-back World Series titles. I said, 100 years from now, it's not going to matter if you are black, you are white, you are Hispanic, you are Asian. I said, men, 100 years from now, it's not going to matter if you were a millionaire or a pauper. 100 years from now, all that's going to matter is the same thing Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And then the second thing I told those men was, that's going to matter is, what did you do for Jesus Christ? Life is very simple, young people. The simplicity of Christ, the Bible talks about. Who do you say that I am? All right? And then what did you do for Jesus Christ? I was speaking in Alabama Sunday. I was leaving my hotel yesterday. I was witnessing some of the housekeeping ladies. And one of the ladies said, you know, sir, there's different Jesuses out there. Is she correct? Actually, there is only one Jesus, but there's different ways to look at Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, because you got to know who he is before you can stand up for him when you walk out these doors today and all the days of your life, okay? So let's look at some different religions and see how they actually look and view Jesus Christ. The first one, let's look at the religion of Islam, okay? Muslims. If you have Muslims that go to your school or you have Muslim friends or people you've met, raise your hand up for me. You've met Muslims, okay? Yeah, it's a very big religion getting bigger. And the main reason it's getting bigger, they have very, very big families. That's one of the reasons they get very big and they're taking over certain areas. And in some parts of the world, they can have multiple wives. Osama bin Laden was the 17th of 53 children. Okay? His dad had four or five wives. And they multiply their faith and propagate it that way. But one thing, if you ever study fathers out there, fathers-to-be out there, when a boy does not get his dad, he will spin out of control like you've never seen before. And you can be rest assured he got no dad time, and then all of a sudden Satan will always come and play with that, okay? In Islam, a Muslim, they accept Jesus as a prophet who did miracles, was born of a virgin, they actually believe that, who will come again at Judgment Day. They actually believe Jesus Christ is coming back, but they reject his crucifixion. About 99% of them reject his crucifixion, and 100% of Muslims reject his resurrection. In the Quran, Muhammad is not presented as a miracle worker, but in the Quran, Jesus is presented as a miracle worker, but they say it's the hand of Allah that does the miracles through him, all right? Although Muslims believe that Muhammad supersedes Jesus, that he's the last prophet, the greatest of the prophets, what's interesting is that he still must die. Even though he hasn't died yet, they believe he's going to come back and still die. But the Quran says Jesus did not die, nor was he resurrected. So at some point, they don't believe in the crucifixion. They believe Jesus was just assumed and taken up into heaven. So at some point, Jesus has to die according to the Islamic religion. When the end of the world approaches, Muslims believe that Jesus will descend from heaven. Do Christians believe that? Yes, they do. Okay, but it's a different Jesus, okay? Will descend from heaven and defeat the Antichrist. That's what the teaching out of Islam is, okay? Jesus will return as a Muslim. Make sure you understand this, okay? I've heard this from numerous Muslims. And in the sense that he will unite all believers under one God is what he's going to do. But what's the one God he's going to unite them under according to a Muslim? Allah. That's exactly right. See, it's a Jesus. They call him Isa, I-S-A. Jesus is what it is, Isa. But it's a false Jesus. See, it could be the same word, but a different definition underneath that word, okay? This is what it says in the Quran. This is a quote from the Quran. The people of the book, and whenever they say the people of the book, it always means the Bible. Jews and Christians, who they're talking about, do not exceed the limits in your religion and attribute to God nothing except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of God. He was nothing more than a messenger of God, they teach. They teach in the Quran, it says, quote, God is, do not say God is a Trinity. They do not believe in the Trinity. Give up this assertion. It would be better for you. God is indeed just one God, says in the Quran. They did not kill him. They did not kill Jesus Christ, it says. Nor did they crucify him. That's a historical fact that he was crucified. But they thought they did. Many Muslims I talk to will tell you that they believe there was a crucifixion. It wasn't Jesus. It was someone else on the cross that was transfigured to look like him. But do you know who most Muslims will tell you that was? They will actually tell you they are taught that it was Judas that was transfigured to look like him who was nailed on a cross. And one of the names for Satan in the Bible is the Great Deceiver. See, this is a false Jesus that's being propagated. Some presidents will even try to tell that we all worship and pray to the same God. Is that a true statement when you hear a president make that statement? Absolutely not. No matter who you hear make that statement, that's not a true statement, okay? That they believe God was lifted up. Jesus was just lifted up and taken into heaven. Recently, I was doing a chapel service for the Atlanta Falcons about 2 weeks ago. And it was down at Georgia Tech. They stayed there the night before they play the next day. They're playing the Saints the next day. And I went an hour early because across the street from that hotel, there's a Barnes & Noble that sits right by the Georgia Tech campus. So I went over there an hour early just to go witnessing and talk to people. Well, I'm in the Barnes & Noble, and I walk up to this gentleman. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, good. I said, I just heard your accent. Where's your accent from? He said, Pakistan. I said, interesting, I write books. One of my books is in Urdu, which is a local language of Pakistan. His eyes got big. He couldn't believe that he would have a book in his local language. I said, what are you doing here in Atlanta? He said, oh, my son graduated from Georgia Tech, and his graduation was that day. I said, okay. I said, you're from Pakistan. Are you Islamic? He said, yes, I am Islamic. And I said, so to you, who do you think Jesus is? Same question Jesus asked Peter. Who do you say that I am? He said, oh, he's one of the prophets. I said, do you believe he was sinless? He said, well, he was sinless, but all the prophets were sinless. Adam, David, Moses, Abraham, Jesus, Muhammad were all sinless. Is that a true statement? Not even close to being true, okay? But we kept talking and do that. Walked him through the Ten Commandments so he could see his sin. I said, what do you think happens to you on Judgment Day? He says, when I die in front of Allah, there's going to be a weighing scale. And God's going to weigh my good deeds versus my bad deeds. And if it weighs towards good, I get paradise. Weighs towards bad, I get hellfire. That's the exact teaching of Islam. It's all based upon what? It's all on works, exactly right. Not forgiveness, but works. So I always ask him, so if you died today, which place would you go? And they always say the same answer. I can never know until Judgment Day. I can't know until that day which way it's going to weigh out. So they're trying to do these good works to make sure it weighs correctly. Muhammad Ali said on television one time, every time he signs an autograph, it tilts towards the good side, that he'll get good on Judgment Day to be able to go to paradise when he dies. Do you think there's any God out there that could give a living care about your autographs you sign for people? That is absolutely absurd. But Satan is the great deceiver. He's an angel of light to give you a little bit of truth, but not the whole truth. See, the question's going to come back, young people, not to every Islamic person, but to you. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? There's a New Age movement. In a New Age movement, they have made Jesus a very, very different Jesus, okay? A lot of the New Age belief is trying to tell us that between the ages of 12 and 30, when you don't have anything written about Jesus in the Bible, that Jesus went on a trip to India. And when he went to India, he studied under the Hindu masters, the Buddhist masters, and learned this Hindu belief, this reincarnation belief, okay? He was supposedly taught this over there. But does Jesus ever speak about that in the New Testament, yes or no? Never speaks about it. But you're hearing this from people all the time now, okay? When he supposedly came back from there, he is in the long line of many great teachers, they will tell you, like Buddha and Confucius. Many believe in a final Christ. Many New Age believe a final Christ figure is coming called the Lord Maitreya. Maitreya Christ is what they call him. Now, he's going to be the Christ. There's four letters that go before his name. And what are those four letters? Yeah, it's called the Antichrist. Actually, there is going to be a final Christ-like figure coming. It's going to be the Antichrist. It's going to be a false Christ. But young people, how will you ever decide if it's the real Christ or the false Christ unless you know who the real Jesus Christ is? I just was back here getting ready for my talk. I started chatting with a lady that works here. Asked her the question. I said, who do you say that Jesus is? She said, he's a child of God just like I am. I said, no different between you and him? No, we're both children of God. We're all children of God is what she said. Is that a true statement? Is that a true statement? It's not a true statement. That's exactly right. Genesis 1 says we're all made in the image of God. John 1:12 says only those who receive Jesus Christ become a child of God. When you're born again, you're a child of God. Not everyone's children of God, but that's a current New Age thought that's being put out there, okay? And so he thought he was just one of many. He attained closer to Godhood than the rest of us. That's exactly what she just told me back there. That's exactly what my notes say right here. Okay, because that's exactly what you hear from these people. I had a guy one day said, I'm God. He said, you're God. He said, the sun is God. The earth is God. The sun is God. We're all God. I said, okay. I said, do me a favor. He said, what? I said, create me an earth real quick. He said, I can't do that. I said, okay. I said, do me a favor. I said, walk on water for me real quick, right over there. He said, I can't do that. I said, guess what? I said, what? He said, you're not God. Okay. I know someone that can do that. Okay. See, but they're trying to make us all equal as one, no difference between them. But he was the greatest fulfillment of this Godhood, okay? But the question it's going to come down to is not what the New Ager says, not what that lady just told me back there. We just had a nice talk. The question's going to come down, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Hinduism, okay? Hinduism is a religious faith that comes out of India. Seeing a lot more Hindus now. If you have Hindus at your school or Hindu friends, raise your hand up for me. Okay, yeah, it's getting to be a much bigger religion. They just built one of the world's largest temples in Atlanta, Georgia, where I live at. And Hindus often worship Jesus as one of many gods and goddesses. Most see no problem with worshiping multiple divinities, but he is certainly not the exclusive way to God. If you ever go to India, be very careful if you ever do altar calls. Be very careful. Because if you do an altar call in India, you see almost every single time, almost everybody from the audience walk forward. Okay? Why? Because to them, they can add Jesus to the collection of all the other gods that they have. Some of them believe in 300 million different gods and goddesses. Okay? You have to be very specific on the exclusivity of Christ. We're going to go through in a second who exactly Jesus Christ is. Okay? But you got to be very specific as you share that with people and do that. In India, there was a very strong tradition, I just said it earlier, about Jesus slipped away from his parents and studied for 18 years reincarnation from yoga people over in India. There's a very strong tradition in India. Why is that? Because it's very easy for them to accept other gods. That's not a problem for them. They can do it very simply within their religious faith and do that. Like Gandhi, many Hindus are drawn to the figure of Jesus by his compassion, his nonviolence, virtues taught in their own sacred scriptures. But also like Gandhi, Hindus find the notion of a single God unnecessarily restrictive. In their view, all human beings are children of God with the innate ability to become divine. Think about it, the innate ability to become divine. We just had a big preacher's fellowship in Atlanta. We got all together, a lot of the men and ladies who hit the streets of Atlanta witnessing. We just did it about 3 Mondays ago. We had 45 of us get together. We go to all these different events. We got an event tonight being covered in Atlanta. LeBron James plays the Hawks. We have a whole bunch of people down there witnessing tonight. New Year's Eve, we have 3 different events downtown. We're going to have 20 or 30 of us hitting the streets, reaching lost people for Jesus Christ. We had this preacher's fellowship. We got together. We catered some food and stuff. Just had a wonderful, blessed time to encourage us to end the year correctly and begin 2010 correctly, being bold for Jesus Christ. Well, the gentleman from Moe's who delivered it was a guy named Roy. And so I started talking to him. So I started witnessing to Roy. And he was a Hindu. He is from India, but he lives here in the States now. And I said, Roy, I said, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Oh, and he said, he's God. Isn't that what we just said? Just what they said. He's God. I said, the only God? He said, no, 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 one of many gods. Just what we just taught you was the exact answer I got from Roy about 3 weeks ago. As we talked about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, how he could be the only God. And I just walk them through the Ten Commandments so they can see their sin. And only Jesus can cleanse you of that sin. No other Hindu God can ever do that. But the real question is going to come back to is, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Okay, Roman Catholicism. If you have Roman Catholics at your school or Roman Catholics that live in your city, raise your hand up nice and high for me if you do, okay? Roman Catholicism is one of the largest religious systems in America. You have to know about Roman Catholicism as you witness and share your faith in Jesus Christ, okay? The Jesus of Roman Catholicism couldn't pay the whole penalty for your sins. He could not get rid of all because you had to pay a little extra, according to Catholicism. The one-time perfect and all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus completely satisfied the wrath of God according to the Bible. But that's not true in Catholicism. Catholicism teaches that the fundamental teaching and beliefs, it's people believing the sacrifice of the Mass satisfied God's wrath, not only for the sins of the living, but also for the sins of the dead. That's from the Council of Trent. When they have a Mass and they have the Eucharist and wine and they go through the thing of having the Eucharist and the wine, they call it transubstantiation. I'm a former Catholic. I spent 26 years as a Catholic. Used to teach religion at all-boys Catholic school. When you go through a Mass, the actual body, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ becomes the actual real body of Jesus Christ and the real blood of Jesus Christ. Is that a true statement? The Bible says, do this in what? Remembrance of me. It's not me. Do it in remembrance of me. And when he's holding up and telling people do that, it couldn't be him. He was holding it up and telling them about it. So it couldn't be him. But actually, Roman Catholic teaching is that it is actually him that becomes there. It's called transubstantiation. That's why if you walk into a Catholic church, you'll see something called a monstrance. And it's a gold round thing with these spikes out all across it. Okay, and inside there you'll see the wafer, the Eucharist, and they have something called perpetual adoration, where people will kneel and pray in front of this Eucharist 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why? Because they believe it's who? They believe it's Jesus. That's why they can pray in front of this wafer, and the Bible says nothing of the kind, but that's actually part of the teachings of the church to do that, okay? The Jesus of the Bible gets rid of all your sins, according to Romans chapter 3. Verse 25, yet the Catholic Church teaches, are you ready for this? That the Catholics, you must get rid of your own sin. That's a teaching of the church, okay? This may be done through sorrows, miseries, trials of this life, and above all, through death. Otherwise, the expiation, the getting rid of your sins, must be made in the next life through fire and torments of purifying punishments. Catholics believe in a heaven or hell, but they believe in a third place. What's it called? It's called purgatory. So if you didn't get rid of all your sins here, you go to purgatory, and if people say a mass for you or pay for a mass for you, it helps get rid of your sins quicker, and then you can go on to, go on to heaven besides that. I knew I was in trouble when I was a Catholic, when one of the popes died, and they put posters all across Rome, all across telephone poles, buildings, please pray for the repose of the soul of this pope so he can get out of purgatory quicker and go to heaven. I was just a young kid. I said, wait a minute. If the main dude didn't go straight to heaven when he died, I said, this little kid's in trouble right here. Okay, I'm in trouble because I know I was a bad kid. And I was like, come on. It's so different from biblical Christianity, but yet people are trying to say it's the same religious faith as we talk about. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. You ready for a teaching from the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church teaches that Mary is a mediator. Pope Pius IX said, proclaim, and they speak, they say it's the word of God when a pope speaks. God has committed to Mary the treasury of all good things in order that everyone may know that through her are obtained every hope, every grace, ready for this, and all salvation is obtained through Mary. This is a teaching of the Catholic Church. For this is his will that we obtain everything through Mary. Is that a biblical statement? Not even close to it, okay? The Jesus of the Bible claimed he was the only way to heaven, John 14:6, okay? But the Catholic Catechism says there's many ways to get to heaven. Muslims will be okay on Judgment Day, the Catechism says, as long as they're sincere in what they believe, all right? Just talk with a gentleman that works here, Roman Catholic, okay? Who do you say that Jesus is? See, folks, there's open doors for you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, there's open doors for you. But will you walk through those doors and boldly proclaim the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you do that? I ran into three Catholic bishops. They're priests, but they're bishops over cities in different airports 2 summers ago. So I asked each of the bishops, I said, excuse me, I used to teach religion to all boys Catholic school. The boys would ask me, Mr. Cahill, what does it take to go to heaven when you die? I said, Father, how would you answer that question? All three bishops gave me the exact same answer, and their answer was, quote, you must be part of the Catholic Church to go to heaven, all right, and you must do good works in order to go to heaven. Is that the correct answer? All three have the wrong answer. My father is a 74-year-old Catholic gentleman, and he continues to tell me how his good works are going to get him to heaven when he dies. And it doesn't shock me anymore that my dad gives me that answer because he's heard it from his priests and his bishops for years and years and years. The problem is that's not what the Bible says. Your works are like filthy rags. You cannot hand a holy, pure, righteous God your filthy, dirty works and say, here I am, Father. Here, take my works. I went to a Scott Dawson conference. I helped 3 old ladies across the road. I helped the people clean up the room when I was done at the hotel. We helped them clean up the event center. I was nice to at least a few of my teachers. Father, here I am. That's disgusting to God. God gave you his son to wash you clean of all your sins. You're going to give him something else besides that? He won't accept that gift. It'll be unacceptable on that day, but many people are going to try to give him that on Judgment Day. A few months ago, I was speaking at a Christian school in California, and they threw me out. It wasn't the first time. I'm kind of getting used to it, but I got thrown out of the school. I was there for 5 days. On the 4th day, I was doing a question-answer time, and a young kid asked me, well, wait a minute. It sounds like you think Catholics have a different religious system than Protestants. Can you explain that? I said, they do have a different religious system. I gave him a 6-minute answer. I had 2 teachers come to me after. I said, your answer was very biblical, very loving. I answered the young man. Later at my hotel, I got a phone call on my cell phone from someone from the school. Hey, Mark, why don't you not come in tomorrow and just take an earlier flight and go ahead and leave California and head back to Atlanta? They threw me out of the school a day early. Well, the reason they threw me out was because the superintendent of the school had been teaching the kids that Catholics and Protestants are all underneath the same umbrella. That we worship and believe the exact, basically the same way. Is that a true statement? Not even remotely close. And this man was deceiving these kids. Deceiving these kids and would not tell them the truth. I said, sir, I said, you can send me out of here, but you're going to throw a lot of gasoline on this fire. You're going to tick off, maybe a few Catholics are mad right now, but you're going to tick off a lot of Protestants if you do this. You might as well just let me come in and finish. And he said, no, we're going to ask you to leave. I said, okay. Well, they ticked off a whole bunch of people. Students got mad. Students started stirring things up and started standing up for Jesus Christ. Students started standing up and sharing their faith with Catholic students that go to that school. Parents started stirring things up and saying, wait a minute, how in the world can you send a speaker out like that who is preaching biblical truth? How lukewarm has our school become? They started stirring things up. Is that not our job to stir things up? Yes or no? Yes, that's what we do as believers in Jesus Christ, but we always speak the truth in love. 3 weeks later, I'm in Toronto speaking. I get a cell phone message from the superintendent. He wanted me to come back out to speak the last day that I missed. Well, I knew what he was doing. He was going to try to appease the Protestants now because he got rid of me. So he called. I called him back when I got back to Atlanta. I said, sir, I'll think about coming back as long as I can give this one talk. It's on my website called Roman Catholicism versus the Bible. So I can teach the kids exactly the differences between the two. I'll consider coming back out for that. What did he say? Yeah, he just kind of laughed. He said, Mark, I just want to come out and talk about Jesus. I just want to come talk about the Bible, is what he said. No, I didn't go back out there. I'm not going to go back there and be used by you to appease the Protestants. Young people, you stand up for what you believe. You stand strong for Jesus Christ. If it costs you something, it costs you something. Okay? You must decide if Jesus Christ is worth it or not. Because the day is going to come, you're going to stand in front of Jesus Christ. And it won't be Peter, and it won't be Paul. Jesus Christ will look at you very simply and say, by the way, who do you say that I am? Okay? How many people have ever seen a Mormon missionary at your front door, or seen them walk around your city and stuff like that? Mormons, okay? Now, Mormon missionaries. Mormons teach that God the Father is a resurrected human being. God walked on planet Earth and he attained godhood. Make sure you understand that, okay? That we were spirit children in heaven before we ever came down here to planet Earth. That God the Father has many wives in heaven. Think about this for a second. This is a teaching of the Mormon church. They have many wives in heaven, and that all of us were fathered up there, and then we became babies down on this planet. The demons were also made that way as well. They teach in Mormonism that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, actual spirit brothers, yet the Bible teaches Jesus Christ created everything. A friend I've got, she's a former Mormon. She worked in Finland. She's Finnish. She used to translate the Mormon literature into the Finnish language. That's what she did for the Mormon church, okay? So she got to study all these secret documents and stuff for the Mormons and stuff before she got... And then she started reading the Bible and compared the two together. She's found all these problems, okay? And this is what she said to me. I wrote this down. Mormonism cannot be Christianity, is what she said. Not because I say so or because we take a vote on the subject in the Christian church. It cannot be Christianity because it denies the doctrine of God, says that there are many gods. It denies the doctrine of Christ and says that he is a God, a spirit brother of all mankind, where the Bible says he is the God in human flesh. It cannot be Christian because it teaches that the birth of Christ resulted in sexual relations between the resurrected God and the Virgin Mary. They actually teach that, to produce Jesus of Nazareth. Furthermore, it cannot be Christian because it denies salvation by grace alone and adds human works. What you don't know about Mormonism is there's a council of gods in heaven that chose Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. Is that how it worked biblically? It's not how it worked biblically. Salvation is very different. You can actually become a god in Mormonism. It is no different than the teachings from the book of Genesis. I was traveling home one day. I get to Atlanta. There's a train system out of the airport that heads to where I live at. So I get on the train. As I get on the train, there's me, a couple people, and about 30 Mormon missionaries, okay? So I sat down. I was like, what is going on? So I looked at one of the guys. I said, hey, you, come over here. Sit down next to me. And now, should you do that? Yes or no? Should you do that? Yes or no? Yes, he's got the wrong answer for eternity. It's my job to give him the right answer. I said, hey, come over here. I said, I noticed a lot of y'all on the train today. I said, you're on your mission trip? He said, yeah. I said, what day? He said, day one. First day of a two-year mission trip, and he gets Mark Cahill on his train ride. I'm loving every minute of this. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, oh, by the way, Mormons, they only on their mission trips get to call home twice a year on their mission trips, twice a year. That's it. I had four Mormons sitting at a table at a restaurant the other day, so I pulled up a chair and sat down at their table. We had a nice time. And so I said, is it true you only get to call home twice during the year? They said, yeah. I said, what days do you call? They said, Mother's Day and Christmas. We always call. Okay, Mother's Day and Christmas. You know what? If I'm Lucifer, I would keep young people away from their parents. That's exactly what I would do if I was Lucifer. make sure you do not have good communication with your mom and your dad, whether that's divorce, whether that's abuse, whether that's step situations, I don't care what. If I am Lucifer, I will keep you away from your mother and your father. Because the Bible says the number one teacher to a child is who? Their mother and their father. Okay? Now, granted, their parents are teaching them wrong about Mormonism, but I would still keep them away if I was Satan, okay? I said, do you believe you can become a god in Mormonism? He looked at me and said, yes, I do. So we opened up the Bible, went to Genesis, and we saw where the first, one of the first lies ever told was Lucifer to Eve and said, you can eat this fruit and you'll become just like what? God. I said, do you know you're buying the exact same lie that was sold 6,000-7,000 years ago? Do you know that? We had a great time on that because he has a false Jesus. My job is to give him the true Jesus Christ. Anyone ever had Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door? Had Jehovah's Witnesses? Okay. Now, should you answer the door? Yes or no? Answer the door. Answer the door. They have the wrong answer. Give them. I'm not worried about them changing my belief. I'm concerned about me giving you the truth about Jesus Christ in doing that. Okay. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus was a perfect man who is a person but distinct from God. But they also believe Jesus was a spirit. They actually believe he was the archangel Michael who became Jesus Christ. This is very fascinating to think about, okay? But one of the things about Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe Jesus is equal with God. Grab your Bible, go to John chapter 1. Go to John 1. Verse 1. Now, whenever a Jehovah's Witness comes, knocks on your door, they have something called a New World Translation Bible, all right? But they also believe in the King James. So pull out a King James Bible out of your house and have it ready at the door when they come, okay? So always have a King James sitting there. They believe in the exact same Bible. In John chapter 1, verse 1, watch what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Yes or no? Okay, I made a mistake. What did I mess up? Okay, I said was a God. That's exactly what the New World Translation says. It says Jesus, the Word, was a God. It says it right there. So I pulled the King James out and said, excuse me, the Bible says was God. Where'd that little A come from? They actually added in there to make sure that the Bible doesn't say Jesus is God. If I was Lucifer, what would you do? Mess with the Scriptures. Mess with the Scriptures so you don't have truth in your hands every single day you open up this book. I know a professor I had in college, he had Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door, invite him in. He pulled out the Greek New Testament because he knows Greek. And he pulled this verse out right here. He said, hey, look right here. There's no article right here. There's no little A. Was God is what it says in the original. 3 months later, he had a knock on the door. One of those Jehovah's Witnesses came back, but she was no longer a Jehovah's Witness. What was she? She was a born-again evangelical Christian. Because that man spoke truth. She went and studied, and she found the right answer. We had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to our door in California one time. When we finished, I said, let's pray. So I bowed my head to pray. The lady starts running away from the door, bolting away from the door. She said, I will not pray to a Trinitarian God. I will not pray to a Trinitarian God. And whoosh, gone. Because they don't believe in the Trinity, because Jesus is not God. So they don't believe in the Trinity. She goes running away from the door. Oh, here's the other part of the story. She used to be a Sunday school teacher at a Protestant church. And somehow Satan gave her a false Jesus. And young people, remember these words. He'll do it to many of you as well before it's all said and done. And when the false Jesus is presented, are you going to grab that Jesus? Or are you going to stick with the Jesus of the Bible and who he is? Okay? I will not pray to that Trinitarian God. My teeth are messing up, so I went to the dentist about 2 weeks ago, and my dental hygienist, LaShawn, Jehovah's Witness. So did I witness to her? Yeah, it wasn't easy with all that stuff in my mouth. You're exactly right. It wasn't easy, but you're darn sure I did, though. And everything I just told you, she said the exact same thing to me as she was messing with my teeth. But we had this talk because I care about her soul, that she has the right Jesus. Who do you say that I am before you die? Okay, that's the question to do that. Jewish people, remember for the Jewish people, they accept Jesus. Many Jews accept Jesus as a rabbi. But they do not accept him as Messiah. They do not believe he is Messiah that walked on planet Earth, okay? Some believe he was crucified. Josephus talks about this in his writings, but then some will tell you they actually don't believe that as well. When I'm witnessing to a Jewish person, sometimes I'll witness to them, they'll go, I'm Jewish. So as soon as I say that, I always go, well, so was Jesus, okay? Was Jesus Jewish? Yes, always remind them of that. Many people don't even know that, but he was Jewish of descent. Okay, he is the Jewish Messiah, whether they understand that not yet, but they will know it one day and do that. Go to John chapter 10. Roll forward to John chapter 10. Just to tell you how the Jews knew it back then, watch what John 10:30 says. Go to John 10, verse 30. Watch how smart the Jews were back then. I and my Father are what? One. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed from my Father. From which of these works do you stone me? Watch what they said in 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew Jesus was claiming godhood when he claimed equality with the Father. Okay, so which one is it? Is he God or is he not God? You have to answer the exact same question, just like all Jews are going to have to answer anyways. For most Jews today, it's more cultural than religious. I had a lot of plane troubles 2 months ago going to Vancouver, and I got stuck in Salt Lake City. As I'm getting off this airplane, it's midnight, there's no one in the airport, I'm going to get a hotel. There's a Jewish guy with a yarmulke on his head standing right in the middle with no one else around at midnight. So did I walk up to him? Yes or no? Sure. Now, are you nervous sometimes when you walk up to people? Yes or no? Yeah, I played college basketball. We used to go to Rupp Arena in Kentucky, play in front of 24,000 people. When you go into, coach says, go into the game with 24,000 people in the gym, are you nervous sometimes? Sure, but do you go, hey, coach, by the way, I'm a little nervous. My stomach's rumbling tonight. Why don't you put John in? I'll go in next week against Mississippi State, coach. How does that sound? Do you say that to coach? Oh, of course not. You're ripping your sweats off. You're ripping other people's sweats off. You're running the game, man. This is what you've been practicing for, okay? Now, you may fail out there. I missed the last second shot against Alabama one time, okay? I missed it. I did that. But you know what? At least I was out there. At least I had worked hard enough to be out there on the court at that time. I'd rather be on the field where the game's at. The game isn't in here. The game is out there when you start talking to people. So I walked up to Sam, and I started talking. I said, Sam, by the way, you're Jewish, right? Yeah. What section? Rabbinical, whatever. And I said, Sam, who do you say Jesus is? He said, I don't really know. I said, could he be Messiah? He said, yes. He said, he could be Messiah, is what he told me. And then I said, but how are you going to know who he is? He said, I'm just going to trust what my rabbi tells me. Folks, can your rabbi be wrong? Young people, give me an honest answer. Can your youth pastor be wrong? Yes. Okay? Can your pastor be wrong in something they teach? Yes. Can Mark Cahill be wrong in what he teaches? Most definitely yes. Here's truth. It's been sitting here for 2,000 years. You filter everything back through this book to find out what is true and what is not true. Even in Christianity, we're having differences. There's a book out there called The Shack. How many people have heard of The Shack or read the book The Shack? Okay? The author's name is Paul Young. In his book, he says in there that Jesus Christ is the best way to relate to the Father in heaven. Is that a true statement? It's a bald-faced lie. He's the only way to relate to the Father in heaven. This book is very, very deceptive. Okay? One of his best friends, Paul Young, is a William D. Young. Okay? And quoting out of the Berean Call magazine, he said 4 years ago, Paul Young chose something called Christian Universalism, also called Universal Reconciliationism, that one day every soul is going to go to heaven to be with God, not through different religions, through Jesus Christ. He also believes that all demons, so all people in hell, will be right with God one day. All demons will be right with God one day through Jesus Christ, and also who? Satan himself be right with God one day. It's called Christian Universalism, Universal Reconciliation. Is that biblical? That is the biggest lie being perpetrated because he thinks the love of God trumps the other character qualities of God. It trumps the justice of God, the holiness of God. No, no, it's the whole character of God. And he will judge sin. But the question is, not what the man in the shack says. The question is, who do you young people say that Jesus Christ is? There's a Pew Religious Forum. They did a study on the religiousness of America. Ready for this, adults, young people? 47% of people surveyed said during their lifetime they changed religions at least once in their lifetime. The main reasons they chose different religions, are you ready for this? The top reason, their spiritual needs weren't being met. Or they liked another faith more, so they changed their religious or moral beliefs. Listen to me. Religion and God is not about your needs. It's not about your wants. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. And you conform into his image. This isn't about making you feel better. This isn't getting what you want from Jesus Christ, this prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and get all you want. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I ask my Christian friends all the time, by the way, how's the persecution going in your life? If they have nothing to tell me, I'll make you a guarantee you're not stirring things up for Jesus Christ. You're not making a stand at your school for Jesus Christ the way we're supposed to. All these cheerleaders that just got in trouble in Tennessee because they made these big banners that the football players ran through that always had Christian verses and stuff on. The ACL came running at those kids, trying to stop those kids from standing for Jesus Christ. Well, they tried hard, but then all the parents started bringing banners instead into the stands, so they had more Jesus Christ in those football games than they can even imagine about. Because the kids were stirring things up. Things got stirred up at their school. One school in Kentucky, teenagers started bringing in book covers with the Ten Commandments on them. Because once you see your sin, oh boy, you know you need a Savior. Biology teacher looked at these kids and said, don't ever, one of you kids, ever bring in another one of those book covers into this room again, ever. One of the girls called a Christian law firm I work with out of Florida. I get in trouble every now and then. And they called the principal of the school who was legally correct, the teacher or the students. The students were right. You have the right to do your papers from a Christian perspective. You have the right to do your oral presentations from a Christian perspective. And every time that you do that, you witness to 30 or 40 people every single time you do that. He pulled the teacher and told the teacher to back down, so all the kids started bringing these in to the school and doing that. Had a college student wrote a Christian essay for his English class in college, turned the essay in, the rough draft part. He gets a C something on it. He's a straight A student. He calls me at Lamp. He's a friend of mine. He said, Mark, a C something, C plus, whatever. He said, I'm a straight A student. She doesn't like my content. It was all about the end times and stuff. I said, Mark, you have two choices. You can back up, take that out, and just make it what she wants, or I can give you some more good ideas. We can even make it a little bit better, okay? Which one did he choose? He chose to make it better because his God is much more important than his GPA is. Turns it in, gets an A minus on it because he's a great student. That teacher, him and her became best friends. He was her favorite student by the end of the year. He used to go back in her office and witness to her. She was a lesbian feminist, completely against Christianity, but this kid was so nice, so friendly. Knew who Jesus Christ was, and he stirred things up everywhere he went. Young people, you're stirring things up? Forget that. You adults that are here, can these kids look at you stirring things up? Are they seeing you stirring it up back home? Because that's what we need in America at this time to do that. 47% and higher will change their religious faith. Out of the Christians who were surveyed, now this doesn't mean they're born again. I'm talking the visible church, people who claim Christian. Can someone claim Christian and not be a Christian, yes or no? All the time, okay? 22% said they believed in reincarnation. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die and then judgment day when you stand in front of God. There is no reincarnation, folks. It's one shot at this crazy place. 15% of Protestants, and you would fall in that category, 15% said they attend religious services of a different religious faith. Catholic faith, Hindu, Buddhist, not Christmas, Easter, it said. They actually go there. Why would you go there if you're not going there to witness and stand for Jesus Christ? That teaching will seep inside of you. Next thing you'll be hooked. You'll start being pulled away. 29% of the Christians in this survey said that they have contacted the dead. 14% said they have contacted psychics. You know the little psychic place on the side of the roads? Contacted psychics to contact the dead. Well, I also stop my car. I also walk inside of those places. Okay, I walk inside to do what? Tell them about Jesus Christ. That's exactly what I do. Because they have a false God. They're connecting to the demonic world. They do not have the true Jesus Christ to do that, okay? As we close up here, okay, who is Jesus Christ? So if you're taking notes, I'm going to hit you with a couple things. One, he is God. Who's the real Jesus? One, he is God. Philippians chapter 2, Hebrews 1 verse 8. He is God. He also claimed to be God. If you claim to be God, you better be able to back it up. The Antichrist will sit in the throne in the temple in Jerusalem, and he'll claim to be God. He will also do miracles, the Bible says. But just because you see a miracle, does that mean it's of God? Yes or no? No, there's two different power sources in the world. God is the power source, and Satan is the other power source as well. You gotta go a little farther to figure out what the power source is, okay? He accepted worship. He claimed the authority to forgive sins. Back up to Mark chapter 2. Go to Mark chapter 2. He claimed the authority to forgive sins. Matthew, Mark. Go to Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Hey, let me tell you something. If you forgive sins, you've stepped into a whole new area. You better be able to do this, or you are one blaspheming son of a gun. Okay, let's see what he says here. 6. But there was a certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God and God alone?" He is God, folks. He can forgive your sins if you want that forgiveness, okay? He was God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Go to John chapter 20 real quick for me. Go to John 20. One of the greatest proofs for Jesus being God in the Bible is John chapter 20. Because he accepted worship. And if you accept worship, you better be able to accept it, or God strikes people down because of that. John chapter 20. Go to verse 27. John 20, verse 27. And watch what it says. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Folks, when you believe something, it changes how you live your life. Belief leads to actions. Some of you say you believe in Jesus Christ, born again evangelical on my basketball team, 3 years in high school, never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. I wondered later in life, how much did he really believe it if he never took the time to share with me? He definitely didn't care about my soul, Brad didn't. Verse 28, and Thomas answered, said, "And my Lord," and my what? "My God." Jesus said unto Thomas, "Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed." Young people and adults, do you understand your faith is greater than Thomas, greater than John, greater than Paul, greater than the apostles? Because if you have chosen to believe in the true Jesus Christ, yet you haven't seen, your faith is greater. That is fascinating to think about. But will you believe all the way to the end, or are you going to be one of these people that are going to spin off towards the end and not make it? He's all-knowing. He knew people's thoughts. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's eternal. He's unchanging. Hebrews 13, verse 8, he doesn't change. Had a young man, Chris, I met at a Christian camp I was at. He lived in Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta, so we became buddies. We used to go out witnessing and stuff. He goes off to college, starts reading other things, graduates, goes to medical school at Virginia, reading other things. We talk on the phone, and he says to me on the phone one time, he said, "Mark, you do know that almost all of the Gospel of John is legend," meaning myth, not true. We just read a bunch of verses from the Gospel of John. He read some things and got pulled away, and he's completely ditched Jesus Christ of the Bible. Young people, will that be you in a couple years? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? I just had about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was traveling to Atlanta airport, talk with this Air Force guy. He was Middle Eastern from Jordan. We were chatting. I gave him a couple of my books. I walked away. I decided to come back for some reason. I just thought I was supposed to talk with him some more. I said, "Hey, Hamid, I just wanted to come back." He said, "I'm so glad you walked back up." I said, "Why?" He said, "I just got a text message this morning from my brother that both of my grandparents died this morning." Oh, not a car accident, not a plane accident, okay? Both died of natural causes, different instances that morning. They were getting ready to get on a plane flight and fly to Mecca for their Hajj, which is one of the five pillars of Islam, to go do your trip to Hajj in Mecca and do that. And Hamid was a theist. He believed there was a God. He didn't know who that God was. But we explained to him the true Jesus Christ so he could have the right God, because he saw death right before his eyes that morning. The question is, who was he going to believe? Who does he say that Jesus Christ is? Just talked to a student from the University of Georgia in the Atlanta airport. Grew up like you. Youth groups, Christian conferences, sophomore at Georgia. Said, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" He said, oh, no, I'm spiritual now. I'm not religious fundamentalist like I used to be. A little bit of teaching, some false books. Satan got the hook and dragged him away. But the question's going to come, young people, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? I just got an email the other day from this atheist friend of mine. Quote, this is what he said. May you have a merry holiday celebrating the non-occurring birth of the non-existent historical myth Jesus Christ. I hope that 2010 infuses you with the knowledge to recognize scientific fact from religious falderal, thus enable your life to be contributory to the human condition. Signed, your favorite atheist. Okay? He's a guy named Barry that I witnessed to one time in Georgia. Well, he emails me all the time, and I email him back all the time because he believes there is no God, and I know there's a God, and his son is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross, Christ crucified for your sins, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. Folks, do you understand that? Are you going to willing to stand up for that and do that? John 8 says, I said, therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. You will die in your sins. You better know who Jesus Christ is, or you're going to die in your sins for eternity without Jesus Christ, and that's a place called hell for eternity. Three quick quotes for you. Thomas Paine, the founder, one of the America's founding fathers, watch what he said. What is this testament teaches us? To believe that the Almighty committed debauchery with a woman engaged to be married? And the belief of this debauchery is called faith? It is the fable of Jesus Christ, as told in the New Testament, and the wild and visionary doctrine raised thereon, against which I contend, the story, taking it as it's told, the blasphemy, blasphemously obscene. Thomas Paine said, one of your founding fathers, the myth of Jesus Christ. But who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers, great inventor. Watch what he said. Quote, as to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion as he left them to us, the best the world ever saw, is likely to ever see. But I apprehend it has been received variously corrupt changes, and I have with the most present dissenters in England some doubts as to his divinity. Benjamin Franklin did not believe Jesus Christ was God. And if he didn't repent of that before he died, he has chosen hell over heaven for all of eternity. But the real question is, who do you say that Jesus is? Bishop James White, he was the pastor to somebody by the name of George Washington. He was George Washington's pastor. Want to hear an amazing quote? Listen to this quote. Quote, I do not believe that any degree of recollection will bring to my mind any fact which would prove General Washington to have been a believer in the Christian revelation. Further than as may be hoped from his constant attendance upon Christian worship in connection with the general reserve of his character. What did he say? George Washington went to church, went to youth group, went to conferences, read his Bible, had good Christian character, but nothing I saw in 20 years would convince me that he was born again. Young people, what if we interviewed your pastor, your youth pastor, your mom and dad, the pastor of your church, said, oh, sweet young lady, wonderful young man. They're here all the time. They're great to the older people at church. They serve people, periodically read their Bible. But you know what? I've watched them for a few years, and I have never seen a change big enough in their heart that they would ever become born again. Do you ever ask people that, what their opinion of your Christian life is? It's a good thing to ask, because it's going to come down to one day, who do you say that I am? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11, and we'll close this last verse for you. 2 Corinthians. Go a little bit farther. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Just to prove to you exactly what that housekeeper said to me yesterday morning. 2 Corinthians 11. And go to verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11. And do 3 and 4. Watch what it says. But I fear. Listen to Paul's words. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, Satan has beguiled, tricked you, deceived you, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, is there another Jesus, yes or no? Yes, it's a false Jesus. Whom ye have not preached, or you have not received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Young people, adults, be careful. There's another Jesus moving in our culture, in our midst today. But it's a false Jesus. It's a false gospel. Okay? You're going to take a last breath. I don't really think part of the whole equation is Jesus simply might just look at you and say, who do you say that I am? Not who your parents say. Not who your youth pastor says. Not who your friends say. Judgment Day is individual, one-on-one with God. Very simple. Think about this question. I threw it at the Falcons the other day. I threw it to the Phillies the other day. I throw it to people all the time. The lady right back there just threw it to. Real simple. Who do you say that I, Jesus Christ, am? Let's pray. Father, thank you for these young people, Father God. I thank you for these conferences. Father, there's a lot of conferences today. They want it nice and light and fluffy and not biblical truth. And Father, you know that's one of our biggest problems in our culture today. Father God, the scriptures are very simple. Who do you say that I am? Jesus Christ, your Son, Father, is God. He is God incarnate, the Savior of the world. Father, but we must individually know that, because if I don't know that, I can't stir things up. I'll blend into our school, our culture, Father God. Father, the last thing we need is Christians blending in here to Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and Florida and Kentucky and Mississippi. We don't need any more blending in. We need to turn things upside down. But we must know what we believe, Father, in order to turn things upside down. Father, challenge these young people to study their Bibles, read their Bible, know the Word of God, then stand very strong upon that in the days to come, and we thank you for that. And we do. We ask it in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Eyes up.